And that's the way we do it here at Vision.
Yeah, baby.
So, third Sunday of the monthly theme. We have that monthly theme, Journey to Oneness or Wholeness or whatever it is. I don't know. It's gotten away from me now. Journey to Oneness, right? Okay, Journey to Oneness. We started off talking about all there is, you know, which is core concept one of our philosophy, that God is all there is, that there is only that one energy. There's only energy, and we call it God, and we know that everything is made from it, that all the energy that has ever been or ever will be is present right here, right now, that we are one with that as that. You know, there's only matter, in which is energy in form and energy out of form. That's all there is. So we call it spirit. We know and accept this sentient, you know, energy in and as and around and through all things. And then last week we talked about the divine nature of everything. Because spirit is infused itself, never being absorbed by its creation in everything, then everything is holy. Everything is divine life. And so today we're taking that journey inward. Right? Life Reflections is about that personal aspect, you know, always awakening to our true nature. We are on that quest. We are always awakening to our true nature. This is the desire to know ourselves, to know the truth for ourselves. You know that, that proverb, right? Know thyself. I mean, how many times have you heard that over the years? See, we have been doing this journey for eons. We have been, every culture has been on this same journey, the journey to know thyself. You know, it was written right on the Temple of Apollo at Delphi, right? Written over the doorway, know thyself. Now, so the Greeks probably got it from the ancient Egyptians, because, you know, eons before the Greeks, the Egyptians had on the Luxor Temple. They had, there was two parts to the Luxor Temple. There was the external part and the internal part. And written on the external wall of the Luxor Temple was, the body is the house of God. Isn't that lovely? The body is the house of God. And on the inner temple at Luxor was the quote, man, know thyself, and you will know the gods. So, you know, it's been a recurring theme. We've been doing this work for a very, very long time, this journey of awakening. Ernest Holmes gave a class on mysticism back in 1957, and he said this, I want to quote, we were created only for God, for the delight, not to get saved, not to have a purpose, not to accomplish anything or bring something or bring a gift to God. God didn't have to but express the life that God is. That's why we're here. There is no other reason for being other than the expression of being. And you can take it right down to this. There is no song unless it is sung. There is no dance unless it is danced. Is there a sermon unless it is preached? I love that part. That was my favorite part. Okay, you gotta love Ernest Holmes. You know, we are here for the delight of God. That's what he said. It's not a classroom. We're not learning lessons. We're not graduating or failing or any of that nonsense. We are here for the delight of God. We are original blessings. I love that. Was it Matthew Fox, right, that said that? Matthew Fox? One of them. We are original blessings. We are here for the delight of God. And so our reason for being is being. That's kind of it, you know? The Creator who created everything out of itself continues to create eternally. You know, the stuff wasn't birthed in the Big Bang and then just stopped. Spirit is forever creating. And then absorbing its creations and creating again. And we are some part of the life of the divine. We are some part of that one life. And we forget that. We get caught up in the things and the stuff and the personal, you know. We get caught up in the details. People, places, things, events capture our attention. And that's where our energy then goes, right? We take it all too seriously. We get caught up in stuff. And that's where our attention goes. So then we have to pull back. We have to go back into our practice of spirituality. Again, I'm going back to an article Ernest Holmes wrote. He said, we might say that spirit is there on the other side of the mind, waiting to come in. But the mind is so confused with contradictory experiences and memories, so caught up in the confusion of living and the chaos of thinking, that our thought stops in the realm of opposites, which is always the realm of mental combat and struggle. Spiritual contemplation must penetrate this, must pass through it, that it emerge in an unobstructed realm, not of only pure and unconditioned causation, but of perfect and complete satisfaction. And that then is our practice, is it not? To penetrate this world, this illusion of duality, to bridge the illusion of separation, and to really contemplate and dwell and sit in the oneness, in the truth of our oneness. Ernest Holmes said that spirit made us and then left us on our own to discover our divinity. Right? And God put it in the only place we'd never look, within ourselves. We're looking all the way out there, all over everywhere, place else. Right? The truth of our oneness, the truth that this one energy is all that there is, we get distracted by the apparent duality in the physical world. This and that, good and bad, night and day, black and white. Ugh. We get distracted by the apparent duality of the world. We come from unity. We come from oneness. We come from that energy of all that there is, and we are birthed into this world, and we seem separate and apart from each other. We seem separate in individual bodies, separate and apart from each other, and separate and apart from the divine. And so as we start on a path of know thyself, we try to do that process of integration. However, we're looking outside of ourselves to integrate things into ourselves. We're looking in the wrong places. We start looking all over the world, you know, for fulfillment, for satisfaction, for success, for companionship, for whatever. But we're looking for it out there. We try to recreate that sense of oneness that we intuitively know we are by adding things to us from the external instead of the internal. So we attract things into our experience. So the first step in that spiritual awakening, this journey to oneness or the journey of oneness, we realize that those external things don't do it. We realize the external things that we are attracting into our experience are not filling that idea of wholeness. We realize the external things that we can attract to us do not do it. They are temporary. They're a temporary fix, because the physical world is the world of constant change. There's nothing eternal about this physical world. People come and go, buildings come and go, you know, everything comes and goes. This is the world of constant change, and we're looking for the eternal in the world of change. So that's why it doesn't ever satisfy, you know. We cannot realize the eternal in the temporary. Just can't be done. So we begin this spiritual walk, right? We begin the spiritual walk. We take classes. We go to seminars. We read self-help books. We listen to teachers. We find a guru. We go to a church. We find a center. We follow a teaching. We do all kinds of Now, I'm not telling you don't do those things. Okay. What I'm saying is all of those things can only point us to a greater truth. But they're not the greater truth. Does that make sense? They're not the truth of us. But they can get us in touch with those things. But we do all that kind of stuff. We do all of that stuff. And we're still looking outside of us for the answers. All of those things still occur outside of us. We're still looking. And here's the deal. We're looking with our mind, right? We're looking to make sense of it all. Our intellect, seeking the answers, seeking enlightenment, we try to understand things that go beyond the intellect by using the intellect. Think about that. Okay? Our ego self, all right, seeks enlightenment by trying to ferret it out of a book, you know, by trying to gather together enough facts, I'm stuck here, to understand it intellectually. If we could only get enough information, right? If we can only gather enough information together about enlightenment, we will become enlightened. But we don't ever get off that ride, you know? The ride doesn't ever happen. There's always another class, right? You've been there. Come on, commit. There's always another seminar. There's always another lecture. There's always another speaker. There's always another weekend retreat in the silence. There's always more retail therapy we can enjoy. There's always more of something that we can do. We become spiritual seekers and not spiritual finders. That's what happens. We get on this merry-go-round and we never ever get off. Each meditation is compared to the last meditation. I had a wonderful meditation the other day. It wasn't as good as this meditation. It was, you know, this is your ego, right? This is the ego. Every prayer is an effort. Every prayer is an effort to control conditions. Yeah? Or exchange one condition for another condition. I got this job, I want that job, pray. I got this guy, I want that guy, pray. All we're doing is, or I got this guy and I want to get away from this guy. I mean, whatever it is, right? Pray. We are making a lateral shift. That's all we're doing. We're swapping things at the level of the condition. We're looking for enlightenment at the level of the condition. We're looking for the eternal in the temporary. And at some point, we have to stop. At some point, we just have to stop. We have to realize all the looking, all the seeking has been outside of ourselves. And our intellectualizing the spiritual will not make us spiritual. Intellectualizing the spiritual will not make us spiritual. It's sort of like standing in a garage doesn't turn me into a car, you know? It's just not going to happen. We come to the understanding that we cannot use the mind to transcend the mind. What a surprise. We find that in the silence between the thoughts, that is where we can rest. Ernest Holmes said this. He said, very frequently, I sit down all alone for 2 hours, and I listen to the silence until it speaks. And I look into the darkness until it turns into light. It is there, and there is no question about it. God is warmth, spirit is colorful, the universe is filled with light. A voice speaks from everything, from the running brooks, stones and trees, animals, the moon and stars, deserts and stillness. And you can listen to the stillness until it speaks to you. That's where our spiritual practice must take us, to the place where there are no words, to the place that transcends the mind. Ernest Holmes says, God is life, and we are life, and life and life are one. Life and life are one. So it only stands to reason that we can hear that still, small voice. We can perceive the light and the darkness. We can listen and sit in the stillness until it speaks to us, because we are interconnected. Because we're interconnected with spirit, with the divine, and with all of life. There is an interconnectedness to all life. You know, physicists have actually confirmed that what we perceive as dead and inert matter is not dead at all. That everything is intensely alive, energetic field. Even the stones whisper to us. We are one with everything. There is no separation. So we rest in the stillness. We rest in the stillness until we hear spirit speak. We listen to that still, small voice. And it speaks truth. And then you know what happens? We start questioning everything. Right? That's what we do. We begin to question everything we think we knew. We question our attachments. This is a good thing. We question our attachments. We question our fears. and we expose our fears for what they are, false beliefs. False beliefs. And then we do that practice of releasing those limited thoughts and releasing those false beliefs back into the nothing from which they came. They're simply false beliefs at the human level. This is how we become transformed in the silence. This is how we transform in the silence. We sort out the truths from the illusions, from the things that separate us, you know, from the things that we fear and we hate and we want to change. We sort all that out from the eternal truths. And we don't have to go off to a distant land and sit on a mountaintop and do all that stuff to gain enlightenment. We have to go on the journey within. We have to go on that journey within to be transformed. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "The mind, once stretched by a new idea, never returns to its original dimensions." That is us. So we go within and we find the freedom there. We find the qualities of God there. We find the truths for ourselves. Our mind is expanded. So when we return, this is the hero's journey, right? You go within, you come back different, transformed. So when we return, we are transformed. We're back where we began, but we are different. We are different. And that's what our spiritual practice does for us. It allows us to sit in the silence where there are no words and to commune internally with that seed of perfection that is nestled within us. Because that is our spiritual nature. That is the truth of us. And then we return to the world. You know, being enlightened isn't about getting away from the world. It's about being immersed in the world, but not of it, right? You've heard that. We're in the world, but not of it. So being that enlightened being, you return from your spiritual practice, this daily practice that you have, and you are shining the spiritual truth of yourself. We become the light, that light that Ernest Holmes referred to, sitting in the stillness until he hears, sitting into the dark until he sees the light. Well, the light is coming from within us. And we return from our spiritual practice, and we are the light of the world. We change the world by our being. We become the lighthouse so that others can find a way. We stand in our truth and we allow others to transform in our midst because we stand in our truth. And things happen. Come on, things happen. You know they do. There's still going to be turmoil. It's not like, oh, my life is all perfect now that I'm enlightened, you know, or my life is all perfect now that I found spirituality. No, there's still turmoil, but here's the difference. There is still turmoil, but we know peace. We know peace in the midst of turmoil, not just the way out of the turmoil. Does that make sense? We know peace while we're going through it because we know who we are. We know whose we are. So that we know these things, we recognize that we are always one with Source. We have never been separated. We have the illusion of separation. We came into these bodies. I think this body is separate from your body, but it isn't. It's only potential. It's only an energetic. It's an energetic field that I'm just, you know, sending out there. So is yours. And we leave parts of ourselves all over the place anyway. You know, you can't touch anything, right? You can't touch anything without leaving molecules behind. We're simply potential. We're always one with Source. And we surrender to the higher thought instead of the lower one. That's what we do with our spiritual practice, right? We set down the cares of the world, and we go within, and we touch. We commune with that part of ourselves that knows the truth of who we are. We commune with that thing that is greater than our physical worries and cares and regrets and concerns. That thing within us that is the eternal, living through us, living as us in the world. And then we are changed by our practice, which is the point of all of it, right? To know thyself. Right back to the beginning. Ernest Holmes said this on practical wisdom. I love practical wisdom. As we learn to listen to this inner presence, getting our impulse from it, we shall be strengthened in mind and body and in all of our affairs, and we shall move even closer to the perfection of the divine pattern that is within us. It's making it welcome. It's just getting still long enough to make it welcome. He didn't say that, I'm saying that. It's about pulling up your meditation cushion and sitting your butt down on it, whether or not you want to. It's doing it anyway. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 2 minutes, whatever it is, whatever you can do, do. Wow, should have scripted that. You start out at 2 minutes. It grows. I mean, start out with 30 seconds. What can you do? And then it increases, and then it grows. He goes on to say this: how can we practice the presence of God unless we believe that God is right where we are? Right? God and life are the same thing, and we are living in God and in life. For everything we do and say and think is life living itself through us, expressing itself as us. That is the truth of our being, because there was nothing else for anything to be made out of, right? Spirit created everything, the universe, and it's still expanding, and it's still growing, and it's still creating. And Spirit has created all of it and continues to create, and it created everything out of itself. There was nothing else for anything to be made out of but energy, and that is Spirit. Ernest Holmes goes on to say this. He said, "We have been looking too far away. We have been delaying the divine event for too long. So let's start all over again and begin today to practice and reveal the presence of God in people, in things, in events, in every creative act, in every thought, in every word, until finally we can learn to find God everywhere. Not the God who was or the God who is going to be, but the God who is." That's our spiritual practice, to simply sit in the silence. Sit in the silence until we hear the still small voice. Sit in the darkness until we can see the light. And know that that light is coming from within us. We are the light. And to know, to absolutely know God in everything, animate and inanimate, from the stones to the trees, to the plants, to the birds, to each other, to all life everywhere. I think it was Dorothy. Was it Dorothy Day? Is that her name? I think it was Dorothy Day who said, "I love God. I can only love God as much as I love the person I love the least." Ooh. There's our challenge. There's our challenge. I can only love God. Yeah, I can only love God to the extent that the person I love the least. So that's our challenge, is to know and to love all life everywhere, to sit in the silence until it speaks to us, to sit in the darkness until we see the light, and then to be that light, because it is from within us and it has to be let out. It has to. Here we are in the time of the year, the light has gone away. You know, the shortest day is almost upon us. And what we know about that is it's a beautiful ritual, right? About the returning of the light. That's what this season is all about. Sitting in the darkness and knowing that the light returns. And so while we're in this season, let's practice that. Let's practice not only knowing of the light's return, but being the light of the world. That's the story. I mean, that's really the holiday story too, isn't it? We assigned it to one person. Well, we didn't. Somebody did. We assigned that quality to one person, to Jesus the Christ, the light of the world. But the story was about us. It was about humanity. It was about people being the light of the world. That is our process. That is our practice. So here's what we do. We do our spiritual practice. We sit on the cushion even when you don't want to, even when you don't think there's enough time. Do it anyway. Do it anyway. Sit in the silence until you hear it speak to you. Sit in the darkness until you see the light. And know and accept that that light, that is you. That is you. Thank you so much.